You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Off and running on a Friday edition of the program. Great to have you aboard from the Eakin Nutrition Studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Eakin Nutrition, located in the Iowa River Landing in Coralville. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me coming up in a moment. Isaac on the other side of the glass here today on a Friday as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Great to have you aboard. We got a great show. Scott Docterman of The Athletic will join us, and we will take a look ahead at the Iowa spring get-together tomorrow morning at Kinnick Stadium, talk about that, wrap up the basketball seasons, and look ahead to what's coming up as far as the Hawkeyes are concerned. We'll do that with Doc coming up in about 25 minutes or so. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. Love to hear from you today. That's our phone number as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, that's also 319-366-1600. On this Friday, a sunny Friday here in Eastern Iowa on 1600 ESPN. Also 102.3 FM right here in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Isaac on the other side of the glass, keeping one eye on the Olympic wrestling trials. Are you watching that live right now? Are you live streaming it?
No, I think they're in a break right okay. now, so it'll start back up in a couple of hours.
Okay. We'll get you the latest on what's going on over at State College, Pennsylvania. As, Olympic trials going on with Iowans over there. So looking forward to the results of that. And Mark joining me on the southwest side. How you doing?
Doing good, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Isaac and everyone out there. And on the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard today, we'll have wrestling results from the Olympic trials and much more.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. 319-366-1600 if you would like to join us. Always like to hear from our listeners via the text line or the phone line. Again, that's 319-366-1600. Tis the weekend and tis the season for spring football, as Iowa, Iowa State, and Northern Iowa all will have their spring football gatherings, whether it's a glorified practice, somewhat of a scrimmage, anywhere in between. Starts off tonight in the Uni Dome in Cedar Falls. All the activities getting underway at 5:30 as UNI will host their annual spring game. And then tomorrow morning, 10:45, in Iowa City, it'll be the Hawkeyes with their scrimmage, their final scrimmage or practice of the spring, more like a practice. And then the Iowa State Cyclones will tee it up at 11 o'clock tomorrow at Jack Trice Stadium. Free parking, I know, in Ames tomorrow, and fans are going to be sitting on the east side of Jack Trice Stadium, which, by the way, will be celebrating its 50th year in existence. A lot of big plans, I know, that Iowa State and Jamie Pollard and his staff are putting together. But, yeah, 50 years. Doesn't seem like it's been that long since Clyde Williams Field. I think it was Clyde. Was it Clyde Williams Field, Mark?
That was the previous Iowa State Stadium, yes.
Okay. Over by Lincoln Way. And it's been 50 years, man. Where does time go? But, and then Iowa, as I mentioned, at 10:45 tomorrow as well. Free admission for both of those scrimmages if you are wanting to go. And we're going to talk some football here on the program today. Scott Docterman, as I mentioned, is going to join us coming up. We got a few rule changes as far as college football is concerned. Also want to get your thoughts out there, whether you're headed to Cedar Falls or Ames or Iowa City. What are you looking for? Who's going to be that person that no one has heard of before, who's going to jump up and make some headlines tomorrow? And, you know, just other things. Listen, Mark, spring football is still very, very important. Very, very important. But it is totally different than it was, 15, 20 years ago, certainly 25 years ago, back in Hayden Fry's day. This was a big deal. You had the ones versus the twos, or you picked teams, or however you did it. Everybody had a game, and now there's probably, what, a handful of programs that actually play games to conclude the spring?
Yeah, I much prefer a more game-like situation to conclude spring practice. And from what I've heard tonight up at Cedar Falls, Mark Farley will put his crew through a more game-like situation. But I don't think that's true of Iowa and Iowa State. And consequently, I'm pretty indifferent about this exercise for a variety of reasons. Number one, a lot of guys sit out. You're not going to see Cade McNamara tomorrow in Iowa City. It's scripted. You're not going to see what you're going to see in the fall. Who's going to break out? Who knows? I'm more interested in after this spring exercise that who will enter the transfer portal, especially from Iowa, because Kirk Ferentz is right at or just above the scholarship limit. And if it wants to dip into the transfer portal, something's got to give.
Pretty full quarterback room in Iowa City and in Ames for that matter as well. 27-23 is missing the old spring game tradition for other reasons. Rolling kegs into the spring game. Yes.
You're supposed to bring canned goods. Come on.
Yes, now it's canned goods, not kegs. A little different situation right there. But, yeah, that was back in the day. You could do that, but not sure what if alcohol sales are happening tomorrow. I know they are in Cedar Falls. Did read that in the press release from the University of Northern Iowa. They will have alcohol sales. I can't imagine why Iowa and Iowa State would not. Have to wait and see. 319-366-1600. 6441 saying they had to share this. Our daughter was in Tuscaloosa during the spring game for Alabama, and they saw parking for $100, which they believe is a tad extreme. The SEC, if there are teams that still run spring games, it is in the SEC. They will roll out game situations. And as you mentioned, Mark Farley is going to do that. He has always, I think, done that. They usually have a draft up there, so they try to get the teams as even as possible for their scrimmage up at UNI.
$100 for parking for a spring game.
Well, you got to remember, this is T-Town.
Caden Proctor in street clothes on the sideline.
He was there. G-Day at Georgia, all kind of the same way, too. Down in Athens, they had that last Saturday. 27-23 says one spring game I sat in close proximity to a person of I know you always find near and dear to your heart, Mark, the Mark Bortz, the former Iowa Hawkeye and Chicago Bear. They will never forget that. Thank you for your spring game remembrances out there. But it's not like it used to be. And there was always a player in the Hayden Fry era, Mark, where they just came out of nowhere, either caught like 8 passes in the spring game for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns, and you never heard from them again. One of the McGuires was a terrific spring game player. you could write a book about that.
Well, I mean, a lot of those games were 49-0 or something like that because it was the ones versus twos and threes. And every now and then a player or players would switch jerseys and move over to number one or vice versa. But a lot of them are just pure and simple blowouts that I think probably made people feel good.
That's what you want to do. You want to keep everybody very, very happy. If you're going tomorrow, what are you looking for? whether you're headed to Iowa State or Iowa, or if you're going to UNI tonight, I can imagine, Mark, everyone is looking at the Iowa offense tomorrow if you're going to Iowa City. I mean, Tim Lester, in his comments yesterday, saying that around 85% of the offense is put in. And listen, you don't have to be a football genius to come up with the fact that Iowa is not going to show a whole lot tomorrow. I mean, it's going to be a scripted situation, as you mentioned. It's going to be a scrimmage situation. It's going to be a glorified practice. There's not going to be any slash much hitting at all coming up tomorrow. I got to imagine, though, eyeballs are going to be on exactly what happens pre-snap, et cetera, with what Tim Lester has brought to this Iowa offense.
I may be wrong, but I think you're going to see very little, especially with Cade McNamara not participating. You're going to see Deacon Hill, a guy you didn't want to see last fall. By and large, by the end of the season, you'll see Marco Lane as the number two, perhaps James Reeser, the incoming quarterback. But by and large, I'd be shocked if Lester revealed much of his playbook.
No, I would agree with that. And I think one of the things, talking about Iowa, going to Iowa State, what the quarterback's going to look like. You know what Rocco Beck looks like? Okay, what's J.J. Cole going to look like this year? What is the youngster out of Southeast Polk, the freshman? What's he going to look like? Is he going to get some reps in there? Abu Sama is the guy now in Ames. He is the clear-cut number one with two of the running backs ahead of him moving out via the transfer portal after the fall. So this is Abu Sama's team for Iowa State. And is Rocco Beck still going to have a stranglehold on that quarterback position? I think those are a couple of things that people are going to focus on if they head to Jack Trice tomorrow.
Probably going to see a lot of what they saw last year, because this team returns almost every starter. Perhaps the backups are worth taking a look at, but this is a very experienced and I think, in my mind, potentially exciting team.
And who takes over for TJ Tampa in the secondary? That's going to be something to take a peek at as well. 319-366-1600. Good point here from 9843. Back in the day, Hayden and Dan McCarney used to tell people, if you want to move up the depth chart, you better knock the number one guy ahead of you out of there in the spring game. Coaches don't do that today, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know. I just know this is the final opportunity for players to make a mark of some kind. I mean, think about it. From Saturday to the start of fall drills, you're looking at the better part of 3 to 4 months. And I know a lot of activity goes on in the off season. But this is your last chance to make a mark. Many have made one in practice already. We just don't know it.
You are right. And after this, a good portion of the off season is spent with strength and conditioning. That's the name of the game over the summer months. If you stay around in Iowa City or Ames or wherever the case may be, not a lot of contacts with the coaching staff. At least they're not supposed to have contact with the coaching staff, Mark. Not always the case on some campuses out there. 319-366-1600. There is news today from the world of college football as the NCAA, well, 2,000 people are in the basketball transfer portal and, seven-figure NIL deals are coming down. They did have enough time today to come up with several rule changes that are going to take part and start up in the 2024 fall as far as college football is concerned. A couple of these we knew. But there are a couple very interesting ones that we did not know about. We did know that communication was going to be allowed. It's mainly going to be between the coaching staffs and the quarterback. It's going to be very similar to the National Football League. There's going to be radio communication with the helmet with the green dot on it, usually the quarterback. And that line of communication will be kept open until it is turned off with either 15 seconds left in the play clock or when the ball is snapped, whichever occurs first. And also, schools are going to be allowed tablets on the sidelines and in the coaching booth, as well as in the locker rooms, much like the National Football League. They are going to be allocated 18 tablets for them, the schools, to move around. So we kind of knew, we knew about the communication through the helmet like they do in the National Football League. This would have probably come anyway, Mark, but obviously with what happened at Michigan with the sign stealing, et cetera, you're not going to probably have that anymore. Or alleged sign stealing. I'm sorry, alleged sign stealing.
In addition to what you described, one team can employ the helmet communications even if the other team does not. It's not a matter of you both do or you both don't. So it's going to be interesting to see which teams employ this. And I know Tim Lester, Iowa's offensive coordinator, said did some experimenting in the spring practice because he had experience when he was at the Packers. I think it only makes sense, but I think it's probably going to be important to have a backup plan in case, for whatever reason, you can't get that play call in and before the 15-second mark or want to change the play.
Very true. Very true. Some other changes. This is one that kind of surprised me a little bit because we need college football to be take longer than 4 hours. There is now, much like the National Football League, there is going to be a two-minute warning now for each half in college football. And that is basically to get everything taken care of. The two-minute timeout, according to CBS Sports, a two-minute timeout will allow all end of half and end of game timing rules to be simplified and to be synced up with this timeout. That according to Steve Schaaf from the NCAA. And this will also help broadcast partners to avoid back-to-back media timeouts. So we can have those again in basketball, but we cannot have those, God forbid, in football. So keep that in mind. And also, Mark, I know you were waiting for this one. You enjoyed so much the in-game coaches' interviews during the NCAA tournament. Well, they are going to be a part of NCAA football. Head coaches are now going to conduct interviews with broadcast partners after the first and third quarters conclude of the football game. Football coaches don't want to talk at halftime. I can't imagine what these are going to be like in the heat of battle at the end of each quarter.
I don't think many coaches enjoy that situation. They end of the first and third quarters. Yeah, okay, halftime. They just want to get to the locker room. But some coaches are very accommodating and ask a couple of inane questions. What are you going to do in the next quarter to, you know, improve your offense? Well, we're going to try to move the ball. I don't think we need it, but here we have it.
Does it help your broadcast enjoyment? It doesn't help mine. Isaac, does it help your broadcast enjoyment to hear from Matt Campbell or Kirk Ferentz or whomever after the first quarter?
No, they're usually not very forthcoming on the changes they're going to make.
I would agree on that.
When Kim Mulkey goes off on someone about physical play in the SEC.
Yeah.
The
basketball coaches tolerate it. I think they tolerate it. The football coaches, not so much. Not so much in there. One more here before we get to the phone line. Horse collar tackles that occur within the tackle box will now be a 15-yard personal foul penalty. So that is a change right there as far as rules and on the field situations are concerned. That's basically the only one. No, did not see anything about fair catch calls or anything like that before anyone dares asks about that. That's still fresh in some folks' minds, Mark.
Well, it is, but no changes, as you said.
No, nothing's going to be changed. Before we get to Troy and Muscatine County here, 319-366-1600, we're going to talk to Scott Docterman coming up here in just a little bit. One more spring football remembrance from 3690. Funny you mentioned Dan McGuire. They were sitting in the north end zone during McGuire's first spring game. He chucked it 75 yards in the air to Quinn Early. No one within 10 yards of him turned to look over his shoulder, and the ball boinked off his face mask. One of the best football throws I have ever seen. There were a few of those. 319-366-1600. Troy says they should have the fans tweet questions to be asked during the interviews. I don't know if that's going to make it better or not. Speaking of talking about the interviews, Troy in Muscatine County weighing in here on a Friday. Hi, Troy.
Great show, guys. I'm looking forward to Scott's interview. His recent article on The Athletic was excellent. I wanted to ask you about the interviews because it seems to me the sideline reporter often does not watch the game because they'll present a narrative and then they'll ask him about an abstract noun about what does that say about your resiliency? What does that say about your fortitude? Just watch the game and ask a question about the game.
It's a good point. A lot of the interviews or the comments made by the sideline reporters are predetermined. Isaac is shaking his head there. He knows, I know, everybody knows that's in this industry. They are predetermined. And like you said, there's not a lot of on-the-fly, comments or things like that. And there are a few out there that do a really, really good job. And they should be commended for that. So, good point, Troy. Have a good weekend, man.
Thanks, guys.
319-366-1600 here at 326. And, Mark, going to get it ready to throw it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. And a big thanks to Jamie and Chris and Dave and everybody at Emil's Hideaway. They're across from Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. Open at 4 o'clock, and you can check out their entire delicious menu online. It is at emilshideaway.com. What do we have today?
In the Major League, Scott, all the action tonight except at Wrigley Field where the Cubs are laying it on the Miami Marlins 8-1. A.J. Puck, the Cedar Rapidian, was the starter for Miami, was knocked out after three innings, giving up seven runs. It could be a amateur weekend in professional golf, Scott. Lottie Ward, who won the Augusta Women's National Amateur, she from England and a player at Florida State. Today she shot a 3 under par 69, is 4 under for the Chevron Championship, one of the majors on the LPGA Tour, and currently not only making the cut, but in the top 10. And on the Korn Ferry Tour, it's the debut of 15-year-old Miles Russell, the top-ranked junior player in the world. He shot a 3 under par round yesterday, is 2 under par today, and flirting with the cut line. Now to the U.S. Olympic trials being held out at Penn State. From an Iowa standpoint, at 57 kilograms, Spencer Lee whipped Nico Megalutis 8-0 in the quarterfinals. He moves into a semifinal match tonight against Zane Richards from Illinois. On the bottom part of the bracket is Hawkeye Wrestling Club member, former Hawkeye Wrestling Club member, Thomas Gilman, now in the Penn State program. One upset today, sort of. Trent Headley upset Carter Storace 6-4, knocking out Storace.
That what you had, Isaac, too? Anything jump out at you besides what Mark talked about?
There's a couple of women, too. I think Kylie Welker.
Okay.
I can't remember what she wrestles at, but she's still alive for first there. I don't want to say there's another. I want to say it's Reese Laramendi on the women's side who's also alive in the freestyle matches. I can't remember their weight classes, but I believe those two are still alive in the championship bracket.
Now, the thing about it is for Spencer Lee's weight class, 57 is not qualified for the Paris Olympics. If Spencer Lee wins this Olympic qualifier, he has to go to Turkey in a couple, 3 weeks and place in the top three there. That's where the that weight class will qualify for the Olympics. Kind of screwy, don't ask me, but that's the way it is.
Crazy stuff. Crazy. How many people want to see Lee and Gilman? Raise your hand. Raise your hand out there. 319-366-1600. We're going to take a break, come back. Scott Dochterman of The Athletic will join us, so stay tuned. More to come on a Friday edition of The Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we're going to have plenty of sunshine today, but it is going to be a little cool. We'll have the temperatures in the 50s, but the wind will be making it feel colder. Tonight, as it stays breezy, we may still have some areas of patchy frost, but temperatures will drop down into the low 30s. Tomorrow, we'll have mostly sunny skies, a few clouds passing through here and there, and temperatures will be around 50. We'll then have a higher chance for frost tomorrow night. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Okay, on the grass, but out of the street. Perfect.
Why are you raking your leaves to the curb?
Tomorrow's our garbage day, so the leaf vacuum will be around too.
Leaves just go in your Yardie cart, don't they?
You can, but this time of year, you can also rake them in a long row on the grass beside the street, and the vacuum truck will pick them all up.
I don't have time to rake right now.
That's okay. They'll be picking up through April 26th. You've got time.
How do you know all this?
I got the message from crnewsnow.com.
Sign up for CR News Now, or go to the city website for more info.
Scott Unash for your neighborhood Quick Star. And we've been telling you for a while now that it's time to download your Quick Rewards app and pick it up. All you need to do is stop by your neighborhood Quick Star, and they will help you take care of that. You can order and take care of payments at any time. Orders can be picked up in-store. They can be brought to your car curbside. You can pick up your favorites like fried chicken, either roasted whole chicken or 8-piece chicken tenders or bone-in. They are made fresh each day. They are hot and ready for any meal or meal prep. And also, you can order some Nature's Touch ice cream for the weekend. It is delicious. 1 gallon pails are $4.99. Limit two for vanilla or chocolate Nature's Touch ice cream. Perfect for your family get together over the weekend or whatever you have in mind. So select, order ahead, get your Quick Rewards app, and use it for some of the great, great food and great, great things that they have at your neighborhood Quick Star.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Hey there, business ballers and entrepreneurs. Ready to make your financial dreams come true? Well, get ready to score big with swishfunding.com, the slam dunk solution for all your business funding needs. Just like that satisfying swish when the ball goes in, swishfunding.com guarantees you a seamless funding experience. Working capital, expanding your business, upgrading your equipment, or even covering payroll. If you have at least $25,000 in monthly revenue and been in business for at least 1 year, qualifying is easier than a layup. At Swish Funding, we fund up to $5 million in 24 hours. SwishFunding.com's team will guide you every step of the way. No more banking red tape, just quick, decisive action to get you back in the game. Head over to SwishFunding.com and slam dunk your financial goals today. Remember, it's not just a shot in the dark, it's a surefire swish. Go to SwishFunding.com. That's S-W-I-S-H funding.com. SwishFunding.com.
Back with you, Friday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN at 3:33. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac on the other side of the glass here today. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Spencer on Sports coming up next from 4 until 6. And then we've got an NBA play-in tournament doubleheader for you starting at 6 o'clock coming up this evening. 319-366-1600 as we welcome in Scott Docterman. Does a terrific job for The Athletic. Give him a follow on the X or Twitter at Scott Docterman. And also The Athletic CFB college football right there. And, Scott, hope everything is well. And I got to ask you, do you miss, we were talking about this and reminiscing earlier on, do you miss the old spring game formats, or that dinosaur is in the relic room right now, or do you prefer the way they do it right now?
Yeah, I'm all right with it now. I mean, I think a game would be more fun maybe for fans to kind of compare how things are going, but when you look at all the uncertainty now with college football, I mean, first of all, you're down to, you know, I don't know, 2/3 of your roster from what you had last year. All the newcomers aren't in, and then a lot of guys are recovering from surgery. You don't really need them to go all out in a game format. And I know some places do, and it goes so well, but it's, for me, I concentrate more on what I see from the different players as opposed to trying to, you know, it's kind of like covering the primetime league. You know, it's like, I don't really care who wins or loses. I just want to see how the players perform.
Scott, how much do you think will be revealed tomorrow, especially on offense with a new offensive coordinator?
Very little. And part of that isn't really their design this time around. I think part of that is because they don't really have the quarterback in place that they would have normally. And, you know, without having Cade McNamara there, you can't really see what this offense is capable of doing. And so that's going to kind of prevent them from showcasing too many different things. Obviously, they're going to hold some things back because, you know, if my eyes can see it, so can everybody else's. And they don't want their friends in Ames or Madison or Minneapolis or Lincoln to have a good look at them this far in advance. I mean, it really doesn't matter it ultimately the big picture, but we all know that football coaches are very paranoid people. But overall, I think we'll see some new flashes, which is kind of neat to see the motions pre-snap and post-snap in some cases that are able to kind of change the way the offense looks. But I don't know that we're going to have a great big picture of a new offense and come away from it going, wow, that's really new and creative.
Yeah. I know you wrote about Tim Lester and how things are going as far as the remake, if you will, as far as the Iowa offense is concerned. And like you said, I think most of the eyeballs are going to be right there associated on what Tim Lester is going to do and see exactly what kind of motion there's going to be. He talked yesterday about five different routes on each play for the receivers to take. Certainly we've got, 85% of it in right now, but it is going to be noteworthy tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely, because I think there are just many aspects that we want to see, and they're not exactly going up against an easy opponent, you know, when they're trying to run these plays. I mean, the Iowa defense is one of the best in the country, and so they're going to be competitive in an environment like that too. So what I want to see, what I want to come away from, and I think that's what they want to see as well, is I want to see how the motions work and how they alter the defense's vision. And then ultimately how that impacts the running game and how it impacts the line of scrimmage and whether or not the offensive line can displace it. If that's possible, if the offensive line can get vertical, kind of the way they used to, then I think it's a big plus, because one of the things we've seen that's a byproduct, if you will, of the lack of cut blocks being officiated out of the game is it's really hurt Iowa when it comes to running outside zone and slant, because there's not a lot of backside cut blocks. And so defenders are able to really rush and get to that place first without being fearful of getting their knees chopped down. And so this kind of gives them an alternative to that. And if they could showcase that, whether it's force the defenders to chase ghosts or just become a little more hesitant, then it allows the offensive line to get into place and do what it used to do. And I think overall that could be a real positive for this team and where they're headed. And and then not put nearly as much pressure on the passing game when Cade McNamara is healthy.
Scott, one of the things I'm going to be interested in is not going to happen Saturday. It's going to happen after Saturday, and that is any other players besides Jacob Bostic, the wide receiver, going to leave the program or enter the transfer portal. I'm not exactly sure where Iowa – I think I'm pretty close, but can you update us on where Iowa stands on scholarship players and what might happen if it gets under 85?
Yeah, right now Iowa's at 89, and it needs to be at 85. And I would still expect it to go into the portal and maybe pick up one or two additional players after in the spring portal period. So you're looking at, you know, another 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 or whatever players that'll have to exit or change their status to some extent in order for Iowa to get there. That's not bad. That's not hard. You know, I would expect that after the spring, after some conversations, that there might be a player or two realizes that they need, in order to see the field, that they probably need a change of scenery. And then there's probably one, maybe two, who have had a lot of issues regarding health that, you know, are going to be placed on medical scholarship, which means that they can never play football here again. Some decide to just stick with it and go to school. Some decide that they want to leave. So I don't think that that is a huge issue necessarily for Iowa. It may have been a little more complicated had Caden Proctor not enter the portal and a couple other players leave. But that's really – I think what we're looking at is, okay, there's going to be a couple of players leave. It always happens. And then also – you know, what do they do in the portal? Because I really think that another quarterback is necessary.
Yeah, and maybe necessary as well, more wideouts. This is a – Tim Lester talked about it. This is a very green and young position. Has ability, but I don't know. If there's somebody out there in the portal, I think Iowa may take a look at them. What say you?
Well, yeah, and they've got to make sure that they look at Iowa, and that's the hard part right now because they can't really they don't have much to sell. When you look at attrition, Iowa is the worst in the country, and it's not close. From the 2018 through 22 classes, they've had 10 freshman scholarship receivers, 8 of them transferred, and 1 left for the baseball team. So you've had 1 receiver over a 5-year period in recruiting who ran the race at Iowa as a receiver, and that was Nico Ragaini. That's appalling. And you're going to have to showcase that to other players. Now, what do? You're going to have to go to the portal and find somebody who's willing to take a chance on you, like a Charlie Jones type, who also happened to leave, even though he doesn't count in that category. But, you know, the other part is, how do you do it scholarship-wise? Well, you know, for somebody who maybe wants to take that jump that, you know, isn't getting a lot of traction in the portal, you can always say, well, we'll have the swarm compensate you to the point of your scholarship in the fall and then maybe put you on scholarship for real in January or something to that effect. But they do need receivers. And the one thing is, if you can get like 3 to 4 who actually fit what you want, you'll feel okay. And I think Caleb Brown, I think Seth Anderson, and I think Caden Wiegen are 3 that you feel like could probably go out there and play. And it's just a matter of finding 1 or 2 others that you feel like can give you some good snaps. And I don't know if they're there yet, but, you know, they wouldn't hurt them. Let's put it that way. If they could go out and get somebody from, like, say, the Valley or the MAC that could come in and give them some good snaps there.
You recently had a sit-down with the athletic director, Beth Getz, and resulted in a couple pieces at the Athletic. And the topics were wide-ranging, including her relationship with Kirk Ferentz. Anything or things stand out to you in that conversation?
You know, I think, you know, it's interesting because of the high-profile nature of the decision last fall, but she seems to think that they have a good working relationship, and I would probably agree that, you know, they have worked together well, and there isn't really, you know, I guess much there at this point. you know, and it wasn't just a Beth Goetz decision either. I mean, you know, you had to have that. That was more of a presidential level decision, and there probably needed to, you know, we could argue about the timing, but you know, the position, it was so, it went from being polarizing to just being, the hottest seat in the world, you know, here. And if you would have tried to bring back Brian this year, I don't know if that would have, it was hard to bring it back last year. I can't imagine this year. So I don't see that they're having much of an issue there. I mean, you know, some of the things that Beth and I did discuss, you know, I think the most interesting might be men's basketball, because, you know, men's basketball outside of the Licklider's last year had its lowest average attendance since the 1970s, at least. And that's something that needs to be addressed. I mean, the apathy that's come together, that's real. And they've got to figure it out. Even though their season ticket sales were okay, the rest of the ticket sales were not. And some of it was hurt by the women's basketball team, but a lot of it wasn't. So I think she seems to realize that they're not just going to sit and wait for it to happen, that it's going to be collective, and how they figure it out. That, to me, is probably a little more fascinating than maybe the developments with Kirk Ferentz.
Scott Docterman from The Athletic joining us on a Friday edition of the Gym Class. NFL draft coming up this week, and, of course, I think Iowa fans are going to hear Cooper DeJean's name on Thursday night at some point anyway, toward maybe after pick 20. We'll have to wait and see on that. But I know you had an interesting article on The Athletic as far as NIL money and versus the draft and the decision made. I think, what, the lowest amount of underclassmen that we've seen in 15 or so years went into the NFL draft this year. And like you said, it's probably a direct result of NIL.
A significant result of, you know, impacted by NIL, no question, because, and Iowa is kind of the poster child nationally for that. I think Ohio State's right in there as well, but when you see the number of guys who had the opportunity to come back for an extra year, all decided to stay, because, and even though they would never really say NIL was the reason, well, NIL is a major reason why. I mean, if you have, let's look at just some of the bonus figures or for a seventh round draft pick, you're talking about $80,000, $90,000, $100,000. And of course, Uncle Sam takes a sizable chunk out of that because it's a bonus, you know, close to 50% or whatever. So then, you know, for $50,000, you're a seventh round draft pick. Well, you don't make it through training camp, you get cut at the end and you don't get another opportunity. There's your career. Whereas if you're a really high quality starter in college football, even a position player, you probably will make more than that, you know, in the neighborhood of about 150 to 200, and in some schools more. You don't have to worry about the bonus part of it as much. But then also you get to play, you get to improve, you get to continue to work at that sport and get compensated for it. Years past, obviously, you couldn't do that. And so a lot of younger players, and that's probably where the biggest fear factor is the third and fourth year guys who maybe could use that extra seasoning in college in the past, just needed to get that money or felt like they wanted to try to get that money, and then they ended up ruining their opportunities. Now they can stay in school, make money, get better. And I think, you know, when you look at somebody like Y.A. Black, that's a perfect example, because he had an extra year if he wanted it, and he decided to take it as opposed to going to the NFL where he'd probably be a mid-round pick. But he was an ascending player last year. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he's puts himself in a top 100 situation. So that's what we're seeing across the board, and it is fascinating to watch. And the NFL is a little bit skittish, which, you know, finally, you know, the NFL is just, you know, taking over every single aspect of sports, and now it's like, hey, this isn't fun, you know, because they're looking at draft picks now from about the mid fourth round onward as being not that different from what you'll get in the undrafted free agent pool. And so it, you know, it'll change a little bit next year in the other direction, but by and large, I think it's here to stay that the numbers will be down lower because players could get paid at the college level.
Scott, looking to the fall, I think Iowa may well have a better football team than it did last year. Maybe not on defense, but definitely on offense, but will not win 10 games, especially over the uncertainty at the quarterback position and the schedule. What say you?
I think the schedule is really comparable to last year. Other than Ohio State on the road, you look at what Iowa, even with the newcomers, even with the crossovers, there's not a lot of difference. You know, you're playing your main rivals, your four trophy games anyway, one in conference or three in conference and one outside. Washington last year would have been a major challenge. This year, they've had close to 30 players enter the portal. They're going to have a ton of top 100 picks in the NFL draft. They have new coaching staff. That's not the same team that they were last year. UCLA is, I always kind of say, is the Maryland of the West Coast. So I don't look at them as being more an easier opponent than, say, Illinois. Michigan State was a 4-8 team. They play up there. So I think Iowa's schedule is really comparable to what they've faced in the past. Going to Ohio State will be, obviously very difficult. But they don't have an Oregon. They don't have a Penn State. They don't have a Michigan. And Michigan will be down. So I think this schedule will be challenging. But I also think Iowa is going to be in a position to where if the quarterback works out and their offense is moving forward, it will be competitive for a playoff spot. It's just a matter of if the offense can get going. Otherwise, if you try to win like you did last year, those odds even out. You know, you just can't win scoring 15 points a game. You can't win 10 games doing that anymore. So not the second year in a row. It always goes the other way. So I would say if Cade McNamara or another quarterback emerges, then this team will be in that 10 to 11 win range and be competitive not only for the Big Ten championship game appearance and or possibly a playoff appearance.
I'll say this: don't look past Troy. That is a good
program. You're absolutely right. Yeah, their numbers are off the charts from what they were last year. I mean they may be one of the four or five best teams Iowa plays all year.
Could be. Last one for me here, Scott, about the transfer portal and NIL. We've got 2,000 players in college basketball on the men's side in the transfer portal. This is basically, one college basketball writer said, this is basically pickup basketball at the Y with big numbers associated with these guys going from one team to the next team each year. No one's got a great answer to how this can be fixed or does it need to be fixed. I don't know. But you're living in this era right now, which puts even more pressure on a program like Iowa's, which has kind of been a little bit, they've kind of been cautious as far as the portal is concerned, taking their time. I think got a good one in the Moorhead point guard, but it's tough right now for schools, and Iowa's in there.
Yeah, I remember watching kind of the heyday of JUCO basketball in the 90s, especially in the state when you had Indian Hills, SEC, yep. and Kirkwood's been a power for sure. I think what high-level basketball is going to be like is more and more like what JUCO ball was, which is a transient type of style of play where every year you're going to see so much change that it could vary from year to year, and money is going to be the ultimate decider in is who's good and who's not. I mean, you know, a team like Iowa, you want to keep your core together and then try to build and then have a couple of pieces here and there. But then you have players like Tony Perkins and Patrick McCaffrey leave, and then you got to figure out how to replace them. And you always got to be worried that, you know, this year it's Tony Perkins. What if next year it's Owen Freeman's a first team All Big Ten guy, and then you got to figure out how we're going to come up with the money to keep him. That's going to be an annual charge, and as difficult as it is for an Iowa or an Iowa State or any of the power programs, it's three times more difficult for a Valley team because maybe you get that, you roll that dice, you hit seven when you're at UNI or Drake once. But then what happens then? You know, your best player decides to leave, and then you're really in trouble. So I think that sport might be at the crossroads because I don't know how much support it's going to continue to get the way it's kind of being built. Because what we saw the difference between women's and men's this year was the women had recognizable faces that yep. were the programs for a while. And the men's, other than Zach Edey, I mean, there weren't a lot of people that other than the team you support that you recognize. Kind of almost like Major League Baseball, dare I say. And I think that's a dangerous scope because attendance has gone down, ratings have gone down for men's basketball for a while. And I think that will continue, except for your team. You know, it's like, hey, if Iowa State's really good, everybody watch Iowa State, but no, you know, that'll be it. And I think that's dangerous for the way college basketball has been positioned.
I would agree. Great stuff, Scott. Keep up the great work with The Athletic. Always good to catch up with you, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
You bet. Scott Dochterman joining us here on a Friday edition of The Gym Class. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up for you right after this.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online at hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation to determine the ED medication that's best for you. Discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and a range of treatment options, including trusted generic alternatives to the name brands, at up to 95% off. ED is personal, and at Hims, so is treating it. Just go to hims.com/joy and get connected to a licensed medical provider online for free. With zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit, hims.com/joy.
Back to wrap things up, Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 until 6, and that takes us up to an NBA play-in tournament doubleheader. We'll join ESPN Radio coming up at 6 o'clock. Also want to remind you, right around the corner, the annual Z102.9 prom. This year's theme is Hold Your Horses. I know how they came up with that because it is Saturday, May the 4th at 8 o'clock at the DoubleTree by Hilton in downtown Cedar Rapids. That, of course, is a day of the Kentucky Derby. So, boom, came up with that. Good job by those folks. You can pick up your tickets. In-person tickets are $30 cash only. You can also pick up your tickets prior to that and save $5 when you get them at Theater Cedar Rapids at the box office or Hertina Stocker Jewelers in Iowa City during regular business hours. So make your plans to be there on Saturday night, May the 4th at 8 o'clock. It is a 21 or older gathering. Isaac will be there. Maybe. I don't know. I can't say for sure.
I know I'm not working. At least I'm not signed up to work because they haven't asked me yet. So if they ask me, I might be there.
All right. Mark, good stuff with Scott Dochterman right there. And hope everybody, if you're headed off to one of the spring scrimmages, has a good time. And we will get together again and talk about what we eyewitnessed over the weekend on Monday, beginning at 3 o'clock. And then, of course, on Tuesday, Cal Eldred will join us, and we will talk some baseball at that point. But have a great weekend, Mark, and we will talk to you on Monday.
You as well. Talk then, Scott.
You bet. And stay tuned again. Spencer on Sports coming your way next. And that will be from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock, leading up to NBA basketball playoff action in the play-in tournament coming up this evening. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you Monday.
This NFL Draft Player Profile is brought to you by ServPro.
Today, the NFL is full of general managers who'd erase past draft boards and pretend like it never even happened. For instance, in 2014, a guard out of Notre Dame fell to the